Thank you for listening to the Family Life Podcast. For more great content, visit thefamilylife.org. We hope you are blessed by today's message and will be encouraged to share it with someone you know.
And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. She said unto her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." It was the Apostle Paul who penned in 1 Corinthians that for now, we, you and I, see through a glass darkly, meaning simply that our vision spiritually is to a certain degree clouded, it's obscured, it's muted by and in the living of this life. Because of the veil of the flesh, the constant carnality that each of us struggle with, we see through the lens of life darkly, in other words. We see through it dimly. Spiritual things are not always clear. They are obscured by our nature, by the attitude and the atmosphere of the world and its ways, and it impairs the clarity of our vision. We cannot see clearly as we should spiritually. The older I get, the more that I recognize that I need brighter light. And so it is in the spirit. The further in this journey, the more I sense that we need the light of the life of Christ to illuminate the landscape of living that we are attempting to negotiate right now. Like a Joshua standing with Israel on the banks of a Jordan River with the brink of the promised land in sight, God told him and Joshua told them, "We have never been this way before." To you and I today, there is the same clarion call. We have never been this way before. This is new territory in the spirit. This is new territory in the flesh for all of us. So there must come to each of us a greater awareness and sensitivity and clarity than has ever been. Our present spiritual continuance and condition and soul salvation could very well depend on how we perceive spiritually this present season that we are right now in. The word told of Elisha, the prophet, the man of God, that it had become his habit to pass through a place called Shunem, and specifically so by a house where a woman and her husband lived. Continually, it said that he would do so, and as oft as he did, this woman and her husband would invite him in for bread. And it was through that repeated practice by the man of God in this household that the woman perceived that he was, in fact, a holy man. He wasn't just the casual, common acquaintance or the traveler that would happen by. His path was intentional. He was intentional. "Behold now. Behold now, I perceive." Those were her words. She sensed, she perceived through the repeated passing that there was something more, something deeper, something spiritual at work. He was a holy man, and she recognizes that there was something within her that resonated. First of all, it was through the continual passing by of Elisha that God enabled her to perceive something spiritually. God in his mercy, hear this and understand. God in his mercy, again and again, will give us the opportunity to see and to perceive things in the spirit. Spiritual perception is a result of spiritual proximity. We must put ourselves continually in a place where we can best perceive what God is doing and ultimately respond to what he is doing. And it cannot be that we have the disposition that we are so spiritually seasoned and settled that there is nothing more that can be learned or nothing more that can be gained or gleaned in God. A place, in other words, in our life where we're no longer sensitive to the leading of the Spirit or to what's happening around us. And let me explain this further. Let's look at what took place in the book of Matthew, in Matthew the 8th chapter, in the 22nd through the 25th verse. "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands upon him again, his eyes, and made him look up. He was restored and saw every man clearly. The blind man was brought to Jesus for his sight to be restored. And Jesus touched him the first time and asked him what he'd seen. And he said in response that he'd seen men as trees walking. He touched him the second time and asked him again how he'd seen. And he said, then I see all men clearly. It was not that Christ could not heal him with the first touch, for he could. We know that. We understand that. But there was the opportunity that was demonstrated by Christ in the life of this man for there to be progressive revelation. To the seasoned saint, there is more for us. Understand this. There is more for us right now in this season, in this difficult season. There is more for us to understand, to perceive in the Spirit. There's more to perceive in the Spirit. Years of service should not deaden or dull the sense or perception of the Spirit within us as to what is happening around us right now, what we are experiencing and what we are feeling. There should be spiritual perception. If anything, we should be more acutely aware. We should be able to see all men, all spiritual things more clearly. There should be that sensitivity, that understanding, that view, and that acceptance and that response. But it must be that we place ourselves in a proximity to God, to perceive God continually through prayer, through the Word, in a place where God can deal with us, convict us. And then once we are convicted, be convinced. And then once we are convinced of it, be consecrated to it, to be committed to those things of the Spirit that God is asking of us. The second thing that's important to understand, the holiness of God that was housed in this prophet Elisha enlightened her perception and then ultimately prompted a response. She petitioned her husband after this understanding of the holiness within the man of God, recognizing this, sensing it. She petitioned her husband to build a chamber on the side of the house, a place with a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick where this prophet could be accommodated in his continual passing. The revelation, understand this, the revelation of the holiness of God demands revolution. Let me try to explain this further. These are the words of Jesus found in Matthew, the 11th chapter, in the 16th and 17th verse. But whereunto shall I liken this generation, he said. It's like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced, and we have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. Jesus said, he said, whereunto shall I liken this generation? Here was this critical indicting comparison and contrast that was defining this present spiritual church culture or climate. Meaning, in other words, that this generation can often be indifferent about God and the things of God. And we are seeing that. We are understanding that very acutely. This generation can often be indifferent about God. Piped, but not dancing, he said. Mourning, but no lament. In other words, casual, nonchalant, not impressed, not changed, not moved by what's happening around us. For we have become so seasoned to the wow and the wonder of it all that entertains us spiritually, meaning what we are comfortable with, that it often takes more and more each time to capture our attention, to arrest us in the progression, the walking of this life and the living of this life. Whenever there is an encounter with God, an understanding of his holiness, in other words, that revelation must be followed by a revolution. Something must take place. Something must be changed. Things cannot remain the same. You have to knock the wall out, if you would. You have to build the chamber. The scene and the setting of our life must be changed in response to the holiness of God, to the Spirit of God that is attempting to gain our attention. Room must be made for God and the things of God that will ultimately be as we progressively have that revelation and that understanding for more in him. There must be response. Accommodation of the Spirit must be built. It's something that must be built. There's something that must happen on our part. We cannot be indifferent about our encounter with God and when he reveals himself to us and what he's trying to speak to us and to help us to walk into. For this is why, and this is important to understand. Up to that point, there was no child that was given to this couple. But because of her perception, because she perceived, behold now, I perceive. Because of her perception and her preparing of the chamber on the side of the house, her petition was granted and they were given a child. But there came the day after the child was born and grew that he was in the field with his father when he cried out because of the pain that was in his head until ultimately, as the day wore on, he died. This is what the mother did. She took the child, placed him on the bed of the man of God in the chamber, and shut the door. She put him in the place that spiritual perception had made room for. If there had not been, this is so important, if there had not been the effort and the investment on her part before then, there would not have been the space for it when a miracle was needed. There must be a place of prepared perception in our life, a place where our life is put under the authority of God, the trust of God, that we can put our hope in Him and all our fears, all our worries, all the things that are misunderstood around us, all that what we're going through right now in the future. The child was left there. She went to find this holy man of God, this prophet, and she told her servant not to slack, to not delay for her. Hear me, there should not be hesitation about what is happening around us right now. There shouldn't be a hesitation. It must be acted on. It cannot be disregarded. It can't be delayed. It can't be put off to another day. Because certain spiritual things can cease coming by you and I continually if we fail to accommodate them. If we fail to accommodate those things, they just won't be as present in our mind and our spirit to respond. When she found the man of God, it was asked of her how it was. How it was for her husband, how it was for herself, and ultimately her child. And her answer was simply, "It is well." The place that was prepared because of her perception ultimately determined her posture in God. It is well. When asked how all of life was, even with the calamity that was behind her, even with all the chaos, with all the sadness, with all the despair that possibly could be, she looked and she was able to say, "It is well." It could be this day that you are struggling in your life, in your walk with God and everything around you simply because you are not putting yourself in a place to perceive things spiritually as they should be perceived. You struggle with the preached word or possibly with an individual. You live your life in a confused and constantly conflicted state, opinionated and oppressed, because that's usually the way it is when we fail to perceive the grace and the mercy of God at work in our life. We live feeling that as if we're entitled instead of feeling undeserving. We take for granted the continual calling of God that's repeated in our life. And in so doing, we just don't make room for Him. And because there's no room for Him, there's no room to take our dead and dying things of life to be ultimately resurrected. But there's hope. She put her child where she knew life was. In that room built for it, she put her need there. She put it there where the miracle could happen. And when once the child was raised back to life by God through the man of God, she knew where to go to take it up again. She knew where that promise would be. Behold now, I perceive. That should be our quick and immediate response today. There should be no delay. Behold now, I perceive. We should feel it. We should sense it in this difficult day that we're living in and all around us. There should be a joy that springs up within us. We perceive it. We perceive God in all that's going on around us. We have hope in Him. Something should be done with this continual encounter that God has given to you and I. Young or old, seasoned, sane or new to this, this divine encounter cannot be ignored. It cannot be ignored. This moment can't be ignored. We cannot be indifferent about Jesus. We just can't, it can't be business as usual. There must be that encounter with Him that brings us into a relationship and a proximity with Him that we perceive spiritual things. Perception is only grasped when it's made room for. It may take time. Understand this. It may take time, effort, investment, intensity on our part. But it will be there. I promise you, it will be there that you can place the promise that God has given to you. It will be there that you'll find your miracle. There you will find your peace that passes understanding, because things, for there to be peace that passes understanding, there first must be something that is misunderstood. And we can take those misunderstandings of life, the things that we can't define and that we can't seem to get a handle on, we can take them there to that place that we have built in God because we are perceiving things correctly. And there in that room made for God in our life, we can place all those things that are dead and dying, and they can be brought back to life by the power of His Word and His Spirit. I want you to pray with me right now. Wherever you're at, wherever you are, sitting at home watching this, with your family, by yourself, driving down the road, listening to it on the podcast. And start right now, as we begin to pray, start right now to build, to commit to the completion of it, to change the landscape of your life and all the things around you, and recognize that God is trying to get your attention, that He's coming by you. And this moment that we're finding our life in, and this time that we're finding all of us in, this season, that God is asking of us to come closer, to make room for Him, to accommodate spiritual things, to be saved, and to trust in Him. And when you build it, see what God will do, because He never fails. Pray with me. Father, I thank You for Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy that continually comes by us. And we have hope in it, God, to know that You are faithful, that You never leave us nor forsake us, that we have promised through Your Word and Your Spirit. And I pray, God, that the revelation of truth would come to everyone today, that repentance and baptism in Your name, the washing away of sins and the infilling of the Spirit, God, that through those things we have hope in You, we have hope in Your Word, the promise of who You are. And I pray, God, that You would minister to every family, every home, every individual that is watching this, that is listening to this, God, that somehow right now in their living rooms, in their kitchens, in their cars, wherever they might be, God, that they would feel Your overwhelming presence to know that, God, You care about them. You care about the things that are dead and dying in their life and that need to be resurrected. You care about the promises. And God, help them to realize that if they'll just make room, if they'll just perceive the right way, the spiritual things around them, that, God, they'll see the promise that You are, the hope that You are, the love that You are. And I pray, Father, right now, touch every individual that is listening to this, that is watching this, God, and help us to recognize, God, that You are faithful and You are just and You are love. And I thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.